You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
As my guest, if so, have your people call my people all the best. An amazing story and good on Robert Downey Jr., but it's not the typical outcome that a kid has who's been bullied. According to the National Center for Educational Statistics, one out of every four students report being bullied during the school year, yet only 36% report it. And bullying is a lot more harmful than you may think. Students who experience bullying are at increased risk for things like depression, anxiety, sleep difficulties, substance abuse, academic problems, and even violence later in life. So what can be done to prevent the national epidemic of bullying? Let's ask Anne-Marie Gardiner-Halstead, theater and communications professor at Virginia Commonwealth University. Anne-Marie, author of the play Have You Filled a Bucket Today, and author of the new children's book, Bucket Filling Fairy, which was just awarded the Santa Choice Award by Mariah Media. Anne-Marie, welcome.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back with us. How big of a problem is bullying in this country compared to other countries?
I think it's a very big problem. You mentioned in the intro that it's an epidemic, and I agree, and I don't think that's too hyperbolic a term to use in this context. In fact, the American Medical Association has labeled bullying a public health concern. And we're not the only ones who find it to be such a serious problem. My play has been produced in Canada and Australia, and I've talked to educators there who face the same problem that we do. They think it's a serious problem that needs to be addressed, and they struggle as we do about how best to address it. And I don't think they're alone either. You might say that we're facing the problem of having a global bully culture. It's not just kids who are bullying one another, and it trickles down.
Yeah. It seems that, I mean, just from my own experience, it seems that maybe there's a level of complexity here that we're missing. I was bullied really badly for about 3 years when I was in elementary school, 7, 8, 9 years old. And the kid who did it lived down the street from me. His name was Dennis. And he just beat the crap out of me. I ultimately ended up walking 3 blocks out of my way to avoid going by his house every day. And he'd still catch me in school. What I later learned, and I had kind of made up with Dennis, and we were maybe 10 or 11 years old, and I was at his house, and he said something to his dad. We were watching wrestling on TV. He said something to his dad, and his dad dragged him downstairs to the basement, tied him to a pole, and whipped him with a belt while I was in the house. And it suddenly clicked for me. You know, now I understand why this kid was so violent toward me, or I understand something.
Right.
You know, what do you think about that? And what does this say to our larger culture?
Yeah. Well, often kids who exhibit bullying behaviors have experienced bullying themselves, whether it be from other children or from family members. And so it's important to get to the root of the problem. And it's important that we not label kids. We often refer to kids as bullies or as victims. And I think that's problematic because imagine a kid often being called a bully or called a victim and later internalizing that. That can be really harmful for kids. So I think getting to the root of the problem and then empowering kids with the language with which to express their feelings and to solve conflicts, I think that's really important.
To what extent do we find that bullies, you said most bullies have been bullied.
Yeah, some of them have, for sure.
Yeah, or abused. Is there also a piece, I mean, you know, part of our culture is also this kind of macho man thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, off to the military. I mean, we saw it last night in the Republican presidential debate. I think that there were some examples of bullying.
Yeah.
Is this something that is more intense and more real among boys than girls, or is it, I mean, is there a gender issue here? Is there a cultural macho issue here?
That's a good question. We find that sometimes boys are told not to cry, not to express their feelings, and that's problematic because it's important for kids to express their feelings. But girls are exhibiting bullying behaviors as well. We see that with cyberbullying as well. And of course, cyberbullying has exacerbated the problem in all sorts of ways.
Right. Tell me about your book.
Yeah, so my book is based on my play, Have You Filled a Bucket Today,
right,
which is based on Carol McLeod's books, and it's about bucket bucket filling.
Right.
And the bucket filling series of books are a positive way to address the issue of bullying. They're character education kinds of materials.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of schools have become what we call bucket filling schools. And bucket filling schools allow kids to aspire to be bucket fillers, kind, compassionate people. And schools who do this really well are taking bucket filling and tying it to curriculum. And I think that's one of the best ways to deal with bullying prevention programming. If you tie it to curriculum and tie it to school culture, it works incredibly well. And I should say that zero tolerance policies are one of the kinds of methods that have not been terribly effective. The American Psychological Association Task Force concluded that those policies are terribly ineffective, actually. They do not improve school climate, they do not improve school safety, but policies and programs that are tied to school culture and tied to curriculum really do.
Well, those programs are essentially punitive, right?
They're punitive, yes, exactly.
Right. And bullying is punitive.
That's right. So programs that are positive and focus on positive, appropriate social behaviors are so much more effective. So bucket filling is one such program.
Right.
So in a bucket filling school, kids are noticed and recognized for being kind and compassionate. So a kid might get to wear a bucket filling cape for the day if he or she has exhibited those positive social behaviors, or get to sit in the principal's chair.
This is great.
Yeah.
If for a parent who might be watching, or for a teacher
yeah.
who might be watching, where do they get the book? Well, how do they turn this into curriculum? How do you do it at home at school?
So they can get the book at bucketfillingplay.com, and they can get a signed copy there, in fact. And the way to use it at home and in school is a number of things. First, I would use the language of bucket filling at home and support what teachers are doing in the classroom. Teachers
right.
are doing a great job, and we can support them. I think that's really important.
That is marvelous. Anne Marie, it's great to have you with us.
Thanks so much,
Tom. Thanks so much.
Hi, it's Jeannie Murphy here. This is a continuation of Talented People. It's 4:08 already on November 11th. I just wanted to give you a quick update on the weather if you happen to be in the central New Jersey area today. Let's see. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low about 44 degrees. Showers mainly before 3 p.m. That's on Thursday with a high near 59, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming clear with a low about 43 on Thursday night. Mostly sunny all day with a high of 55 on Friday, partly cloudy with a low about 36. It's going to be beautiful Saturday and Sunday and Monday, mostly on Saturday with a high of 51 and a low of 33, all clear. Same on Sunday, high of 55 and a low of 35. And then Monday, again, sunny all day at the high of 58 and a low of 35. So we're going to jump right back to our interview now. We have Linda Famey. She's in the studio here with Colleen Kelly, my business partner from Jeannie Murphy Public Relations and Mariah Media. And Linda is a property owner advocate in a way. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Linda.
Hi, Jeannie. Hi, Colleen. Thank you for having me on today. My career path has evolved I grew up in the business, my property development. My father was a business and property development entrepreneur extraordinaire, I call him. And so I evolved myself into a similar vein with focusing on the property owner's interest, particularly commercial property owners, navigating the nuances with approvals, negotiating contracts with professionals, banks, managing the process of planning to yield the highest, the most productive, highest, and best use for any given property. That in itself is a tall task, you know, for an individual property owner who especially is not in the business of real estate. And then taking it through the construction phase. That's where my company, ROI Renovations and Development, we can work with property owners on any facet or all the facets of any of those services.
Is that within the state of New Jersey only?
Primarily.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, yes.
And I could imagine that keeps you busy enough. So how long have you been doing this?
Well, formerly as a business, we incorporated in 2004. And so we made it through the recession, happily so. We're focused on small group of investors that we have been developing relationships with over the years. And we're careful as to who we take on. We don't take on any all business. We make sure it's a fit for both.
Is there a certain type of family, type of property, the client that you actually find to be the right match for your business?
particularly any entity. It could be a corporation. It could be an individual family. Most of my clients are, individual investors or individual property owners, family groups, and they happened into a property that they inherited, or they purchased it for a business, and a couple decades have gone by, and they're ready to take a look at now what's next. So, do we renovate? Do we level it and rebuild? Do we sell it? And so, for my clients, I wear a number of hats. I'm also a commercial realtor, so I bring that to the table as well. And so, anything we do in terms of planning, it's with the eye in addition to the current value to what the plan is ultimately. Is it to retain it or to sell it? And we go forward with that as a base.
That's cool. So is there, if I were someone that just acquired a property, what would what would the advice you would give me, like what steps would I take?
I hope you would call me before you purchased it. I have clients throughout the state who would like to invest in property as well, and may or may not have some or all of the experience that they need. And so for whether it be current land owners that have no buildings on them, or someone who's looking to buy a piece of land or property, the first thing is to really do your homework and to find out what the property can yield, what the parameters of the local zoning and the codes are, what you can build on it. So I work with a small group, a team of engineers and such, and we go in and we pretty much have a turnkey process where, let's say, for example, someone who owns a piece of land will call and say, we're thinking of, or would like to buy a piece of land. We're interested in purchasing this. We're thinking of doing X, Y, and Z on it. Or the property owner would say, we own this land and we want to see what's next. So I go in with, I have a site engineer, Larry Murphy from Greensite Engineering. The two of us will go in and assess the property from various standpoints, including wetlands, if it's a raw piece of property, any codes that affect it, setbacks, and ultimately we come up with a general concept and plan that would be our recommendation for the highest and best either repurposing or purpose of that property. And then at least if you're going to market it, you are in a position to negotiate with potential buyers of the property if you want to sell, or tenants if you want to lease to them.
That's such a fascinating world. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just thinking about the tenant side of it, and then also like the zoning side of it, and you know, like the opportunity. Like, you could, for our listeners out there, there's people who have property. You're talking, you're being broadcast from Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce here in Hunterdon, New Jersey, and there's so many beautiful properties and statewide. Yes. And so for you, as a commercial realtor, which is a huge advantage, by the way, just thinking about the pieces of the puzzle here for when someone's coming and talking to you, you're able to not only assess the property, assess what it can be used for, but then give recommendations back prospectively, right, to someone who's just thinking about buying a property. I'm thinking in my head of all the properties that are for sale right now.
Right.
It's got to be so competitive on the sales side. And then to be able to figure out what it is that they want to use it for, find out if with you as a service, in addition to being the realtor,
right,
find out how they can use it and then help them actually develop it into whatever it is in their mind that they want to have. And let's talk about the leasing thing for a second, just for the sake of understanding more about what you do. You know, all of us are familiar with, like, watching. As a matter of fact, yesterday we literally saw a bank that went out of business in Hunterdon County here that is closing up its shop, right? So they were leaseholder, I'm sure, on a commercial property.
Uh-huh.
What is it like when you're doing that for a property owner? Like, do you find the banks or the customers?
Yes.
And so what typically does a lease look like for a commercial property like that? Because we're so used to seeing, you know, sub shops, pizza places.
Sure.
How's it work?
Well, it's interesting. There's quite a range. So the what I call the blue chip stock of real estate is your triple net lease on a piece of land. And what that means is that a property owner owns a piece of land in a location that is desirable to ideally a AAA tenant, such as a, you know, a bank or CVS, one of the there are a number of companies that look for what they call ground leases.
Okay.
And they will typically, you know, you negotiate with them, but sign, it could be, you know, usually it's a long-term lease, mm-hmm. 20, 25 years more with increases. And then they actually build the building, and the owner has no involvement. They don't have to maintain it. They don't
that's
have to build
so awesome.
It. And a check goes to the owner.
Yeah.
That's those are the most sought after commodities of, you know, the real estate game. And it's really good for an investor who really isn't into, let's say, or is into real estate, but for the particular investor that's not interested in maintaining or managing, the returns are a little lower. It's not as, because it's a low, essentially a very low risk investment, but it certainly is steady. And so that's one end of the spectrum. And then you have, you know, for example, the property I mentioned, I'm working on a property in downtown Princeton, 255 Nassau Street. And that particular property, I began with the owners back in 2009. It was originally Davidson to Market. Actually, prior to that, it was the one of the first Dodge dealerships in the country. And it had the old Dodge Brother insignia on the top of the building, which we've preserved and putting back on the new building.
I love that you're doing that.
Yeah. And so the owners and I took a fair amount of time to meet with the community and do our research to see what the highest and best use for that property would be. Well, we've had numerous renditions over the 5 years it took us to get our approvals, but we were successful. And the net result was we've just recently broke ground for a 30,000 square foot building, three stories, which will house on the first floor one commercial space. TD Bank will be going in there. And then there's five apartments on the first floor. The second and third floor will have nine apartments each, totaling 23 apartments. And the delightful thing is we have room for a plaza in front, which will house a small kiosk for Bon Appetit Gourmet.
That's just so perfect for the location. It's right next to like the university, right on which side of the, do you call it the east side of Nassau Street?
Yes, it's east side of Nassau Street, and it backs to the university. It fronts on Nassau Street, and most people know the landmark of the Blue Point Grill.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're right across the street from the Blue Point Grill for newcomers to town that might not remember Davidson's Market. And the we broke ground just a few months ago, and we're raising steel in a few weeks, and it's very exciting. Also, this property, we've designed in a rooftop patio, which is going to be an exciting feature on this building. So,
is that going to be exclusive for the residents?
Yes.
That's just so awesome.
Yes.
I know. What a perfect location. I would just love to live there.
I know. It really is.
Well,
beautiful.
The fact that it'll have on-site parking is a huge asset in that area, any area of downtown Princeton. So
yeah.
The combination of its location, the bus line goes right by there. You have the university and all its cultural.
When you were working with the family that had the property, when you were identifying the uses, like you said, did they ever have any idea that this was going to become an apartment complex with the retail, you know, front side and so on? Were they in that business? Or because it's interesting how it would evolve into something like such a massive project, but so great for the community, too.
Oh, it is. The initial when I have worked with the family before, the Carnot Valley family, on other properties, and when they brought me in on this property, we looked at the building, which was really configured for a grocery store. It was reconstructed in 1985 from the dealership to a grocery store, and Davidson's Market was in there for 10 years, and then it changed hand a couple times before it really, the area had changed, more competition had come in, and so therefore the grocery service of that size in that area just wasn't, it wasn't the best, highest and best use. And so we looked at numerous ways to repurpose it. We did work to bring in a grocer, but it was too big for the small guys and too small for the big guys. And breaking it up, it just wasn't configured properly for that. So then we set on to review what other options we had. And at the end of the day, the owners actually weren't interested in residential. because of the management side
sure.
of it.
I'm just thinking about, you know, you're either in that space or you're not.
Right.
And you got both then with the bank.
Mm-hmm. Right. But as everything turned out with the planning, the community preferred to have some residential, which makes sense.
Yes.
And, oh, and
it
a
is
lot
perfect.
Of urban areas now are doing more that mixed. So that worked out. And also with how the property laid out and some of the parameters with the DOT, it just fleshed out to make sense to do residential and the commercial mixture, which I think it'll be a beautiful addition to an area that's been pretty dark for a while. And, you know, so it's
exciting. We were there this morning, Helena and I, and we were just walking through the town, and it's so beautiful anyway. And then when you get towards your area, it seems like a lot of the buildings there have been really kept up very well, or they've been upgraded in the last couple of years. So it's like a part of town that's very, very desirable, I would think, that people are going to be very interested in knowing more about it. When do you think it's going to actually be done?
So we're planning to be able to start leasing, if all goes well, by early fall of 2016, if not before. Mm-hmm. That's our
target. So if someone out there was listening and they wanted to take a look or find out more about it, what would they do?
Our website's under construction, so
that's so funny. It's cute.
our building and our website are currently under construction, and the best thing is if you're interested in a space, which we already have a working list of interested parties, it would be a very good idea to get on the website, which is www.carnevalleyplaza.com, and just, you know, sign the interest form, which will give us your contact information and how many bedrooms you prefer and which floor you prefer. And that way you're on our radar. And as we move forward with the leasing process, it'll be on a first come first serve basis in terms of
Did get in early and had a really strong interest and was ready to make a commitment, would they be in a position where they could actually get some customized stuff?
Absolutely.
That's a huge advantage.
Absolutely.
Especially in a place like Princeton where it's sought after to live in anyway, and there's nothing available. It's not like everybody is selling or anything right now. It's still a beautiful, beautiful place. We're going to run to our first break real quick here. It's 4:23 on Talented People on Veterans Day, and we're having a conversation right now with Linda Famey. She is actually a property owner advocate. She's a commercial real estate agent, and she's here in studio talking about one of the properties she's developing, 255 Nassau Street. And Colleen Kelly, my business partner's in the studio as well today. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend.
This tree was never chopped down because this crutch never needed to be carved, because these legs never grew weak, because this child never got polio. Over the past 20 years, Rotary Club members have helped immunize over 2 billion children against polio. Now we are on the brink of eradicating this crippling disease once and for all. But we need your help. Thanks to an historic matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to make sure vaccines reach the people who need it, to protect the children of the world against polio forever. This is an opportunity to end polio now. Visit rotary.org/endpolio. Rotary, humanity in motion.
Good evening. This is Dr. Black and my pal Igor. We want to invite you to visit us at the Haunted Village at the Red Mill in Clinton, New Jersey. Come by to have a cup of hot tea with me on October 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th. Tickets are on sale online at the redmillhauntedvillage.org. The prices are $30 for regular admission and $45 for express pass. Don't forget to scare up a coupon from our local merchants. We hope to have you soon.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's Veterans Day today. If you're a veteran, just want to personally thank you for all the work that you've done to protect our country and everything that you've done to, offer up your own self.
I just want to make a quick shout out to that because my nephew, who I am going to see for Thanksgiving, is currently in the Army, and I believe that he is headed towards Afghanistan. So it's going to be a kind of a bittersweet Thanksgiving for us, and a little scary, but thank you, Jake, for your service.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, we had a past hour with Carol Gable talking about reminding everybody about Job Path and GI Go Fund, because it is so important to remember the veterans and those who are serving our country right now,
and especially when they come home. And that's what Job Path does. It's a portal for jobs for the veterans, and they actually do training to get them ready for the match them up in corporations.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And you can listen to the rewind if you'd like, either tonight, or you can go to the archives on the 100 in Chamber radio station, or go to Jeannie Murphy Public Relations or Mariah Media website to see to listen again to the whole conversation. But if you're interested in hiring a vet or being reimbursed or helping out with there's donations, there's middle of the night mission calls to get some of the veterans off the street and get them whatever they need, you can get in touch with Carol Gable, Job Path.
Right.
So we're back to our conversation here on Talented People with Linda Famey. She's actually a commercial real estate agent. She's a property owner advocate. So we're thinking of you here, Colleen and I, as far as our listeners and so on. And, especially if you're in the Hunterdon County or New Jersey area, this show streams live across the nation. So it doesn't really matter where you're at. If you have a home, and I'm thinking that, many times you have a property and you don't even know where to start when it comes to selling, and yet there's a whole industry behind that. You could just put your place up for sale with a regular realtor, but you never even know if you're sitting on something really, really valuable by where it's located or whatever. So we're learning about this as from the professional in this place. Linda, tell us about commercial real estate and what it's like for a property owner, and if you were to work with one, what you offer.
Sure. Thank you for having me. Well, interestingly enough, we started out, I've been in the commercial real estate and development, so though I wear several hats, commercial real estate sales and leasing is one hat. And the development side is the other hat. And generally, people come to me when they're either looking or to buy or looking to sell a property. And they'll hire my services for the initial planning phase, which is really where I like to start with someone, because that enables you to really be leveraged as you go along that process, insofar as your planning and the decisions that you make with the professionals, how you deal with the town that you're in, what zoning you're in, to determine really what is the highest and best use of that property. So a house on a major highway may be zoned commercial and may have a commercial value, which as a commercial realtor, I'm able to help you look at property values that are comparable and not always easy to define, especially if you're in an area that has mostly developed, but your property is one that has, not yet been turned commercial. But then there's, any range of property owners that come to me. Example, I'm using the one in Princeton. The family owns numerous properties, and so I work with them. I've helped them, you know, assess to sell, to renovate, to lease, for financing. So pretty much along the whole spectrum, where I come in is being able to advocate and leverage their position. So they're not, unfortunately, especially if you're not in the business as a developer with real estate background, in my opinion, you're a sitting duck.
Right.
You know, open your wallet, tell me how wide, and I'll let you know how long I'm going to pull from it, and maybe you'll get what you want. Mm-hmm. So that equation, as I grew up in the business and watched my father, remembering him in the early years of being on that side of the fence and how he developed in his business to the point where he certainly, you know, did very, very well and figured out how to leverage his position with properties and such. So, you know, and for example, I'm doing that in Little Lake Harbor now, near the Tuckerton area in New Jersey, mm-hmm. Just north of Atlantic City. And I'm working on property that's owned by my family. It's one of the last swaths of developable commercial property in the southern coastal area of New Jersey. It's most of the area was remapped by CAFRA and Pinelands environmental regulations, which severely limits the growth potential for commercial, large-scale commercial development, which is good and bad. If you owned property that it was remapped and you can't use it, that's pretty negative.
Right.
But for those that, you know, have property that was actually zoned under the CAFRA regulations, in particular this swath, much of this property was zoned CAFRA Town Center, which permits 70% impervious coverage, which is significantly more than you can develop on most any other type of property in the state of New Jersey or most anywhere.
Really? So what is the percent of that?
The typical, I mean, 40%.
40? Really? Not, wow. You know, that's, I mean, so a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so it really depends on where you are and such. So you, 40, 50%. But it, the bottom line is that you, in this particular area, so I, you know, my father purchased some of these properties back 30 years ago. He has always had an eye for a long-term investment. And the area is now opening up. Walmart just is breaking ground with 161,000 square foot super center. And they looked at the same maps we did and have been looking at and realized there are no other developable large corridors in that area. So they are putting a regional center in that will service from Southern Forked River to the Southern Atlantic County region. And right now, I'm commissioned by my family, actually, to secure what we've determined would be the highest and best use for that land, which is a destination retailer for, you know, that would complement the tourism draw for the South Jersey region, the coastal region. So we're in process doing that, working with the town and actually the county and the state to put together incentive packages to attract some of these very sought-after destination tourism venues. With that, right now I have about another five other listings from other property owners who basically came and said, Lynn, what should we do with our site now?
Mm-hmm. And now, is that in the Little Egg Harbor area, or are you talking about the cross state? Like, you've got Princeton, I know you're doing that, and then right. You got Little Egg Harbor, which is your family property.
Well,
more than 125 acres, correct?
Right. But the properties that my family owns is a segment of that. The mm-hmm. five additional listings I have are from other property owners right in that same swath.
Oh wow, that's
so
great.
It's been fun.
Because you can also kind of coordinate with them for the best interests of everybody, right?
Well, we're all thinking together. There's mm-hmm. different. Each property has its unique value. Some lend itself more to leasing for the pad site type of uses. Others are the zoning and such really for development. So each and every property is a bit unique in that they are. They're complementary as opposed to competing, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And but the community is lovely to deal with on every level. It's a pleasure to deal with them. We've had meetings recently. Well, I've had numerous meetings with the town And now with the county and state, and everyone is very excited to see this area develop while keeping the old-time marine community atmosphere and environment, and to really develop it as a complement to what is going on at the Jersey Shore and the new blood that's going into Atlantic City. And so the focus is to attract venues that will complement the marine community in Tuckerton and Little Lake Harbor. Again, it's been it's an older, tired community that Dorian Sandy got hit very, very hard. And but this is breathing new life into the
Absolutely.
Area. It's exciting.
Yes.
So so those are the two major areas that I'm working in. Although I have other smaller projects. I do some residential.
Oh,
The construction segment of my business. We finished doing historical renovation in Ewing, on 138 Central. And very, very excited about that. It was a real pleasure to work with the owners, and from picking colors to designing.
It's such a transformation, really.
Yeah,
the pictures are amazing.
Right. So that while we do that, we're very selective. We really focus mostly on commercial work, but now and then an interesting project will arise, and we'll consider and look at it and decide if it makes sense for both property owners and our operations.
Tell us about, like, if there's a commercial entity listening that is interested in having commercial services for real estate, meaning you find the location
right.
for them to do a long-term lease or so on like that. What tell us about that part of the business a little bit.
So I get your question. You're asking if a business wanted to find a location to locate and lease?
Yeah, meaning that you're like the property owner advocate, because basically you specialize in having these properties find their maximum use, opportunities, go back and full turnkey, like you said, from the beginning of it, from the real estate transaction, from the consulting services, all the way to the development and actually what you're building is a residential apartment complex and really upscale.
I think it's important that to note that her company, Linda herself, has such a vision mm-hmm. that some people mm-hmm. just may not have or see.
Exactly.
And so she takes all of these factors together and comes up with the best. Mm-hmm. The best possible scenario for the property owner.
Right, and I'm saying it's so interesting because even right now at 255 Nassau Street, you have the fencing up, you've got the on-location trailer, you're in charge of overseeing all the construction work, making sure the permits are met on time. You're full service all the way.
Yes.
And so I was only curious, like where you said that the TD Bank is coming in as a tenant into this property that you represent the owners for.
Yes.
Do you represent independent type of TD Bank as a commercial real estate agent on the other side without the property side? I'm just curious.
Right. So, yes, I have had commercial entities mm-hmm. approach me looking for site locations, and I have a small group internally that we do research and scouting, but those are very selective as well.
Mm-hmm.
We don't aspire to be a national player. We're a New Jersey mm-hmm. player,
right.
and we focus on New Jersey. So, again, we are selective with who we take on as clients. It has to be a match for both. But with that said, I'm very data intensive when I look at information. And so whether it be assessing a property for construction versus, assessing a property from its use potential. And so... most of the clients who come to me are actually property owners, mm-hmm. but we do service.
Well, I'm just thinking of it because, like, where you talk about the property that you have down in South Jersey area, to have a Walmart as a tenant. Is it a tenant or they own it?
So now Walmart purchased that property.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, that's just such an accomplishment to someone, right? Like, such an achievement, a lifetime achievement, These things don't happen very often to people, where that you're actually involved. It doesn't matter that you happen to have a family that owns the property. It's the fact that you were able to be part of the facilitation of such a large,
right.
like Colleen says, vision project. That has so many career opportunities, employment opportunities, there's just so many benefits to
right.
what you're trying to do.
So the credit duly goes to my father for his insight when he purchased the property in Little Lake Harbor. Atlantic City was still in its early years, so he envisioned the growth and certainly had a lot of faith.
Is it in the 80s, like early 80s,
yes,
the casinos there?
Exactly. And so he foresaw, you know, the proximity between Philadelphia, New York, and the airport, and being near the airport, and he found an opportunity, and he sat on it for several decades, and you know, he rode the wave during the downturn in 2007, and actually things were actually moving quite strongly there at that time, and Walmart was the only deal that struck and didn't fall apart.
That's amazing. It mm-hmm. really is. I think it's just so much fun to hear about. I think about it from, like, you know, what you're talking about. Okay, back in the 80s, like, Colleen, you were actually working down there at Harris, this big blackjack VIP, high-level gambler lady hostess, because Colleen knows how to take care of people. Yes, she does. But she was down there, okay, so we can see back in the day, you know, it was like all the fun. You
well,
know?
There was just so much growth and development.
Booming.
It was booming.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep. And then, like you said, like, I'm thinking about it, like, you know, because we have all seen empty buildings, and I just am curious when I drive by these places, like, who owns it? And I've just, you know, before I knew you or thought about it, because I loved the behind the scenes stories here, talented people, we love to know about the talent behind the talent. It's like you just wonder. But then you, like you said, like, your dad had the vision. He was sitting on the property, and now look what happened to it. It wasn't just like it, you know, you wonder what happened to the tenants, but it's the property owner that still owns that land.
Yes.
It's just so cool to think about. And it's really nice to know someone. Like, I don't think we meet too many commercial real estate agents that are able to share on the radio some of the projects that they're doing and some of the experience. Like, you've got two big deals going. You know, you've got the Princeton, not Nassau Street and Princeton in itself, building what you're doing, sharing it with everybody, because our listeners are all local to this. And then also Atlantic City and the whole Walmart thing and the properties. Like you say, you have five, you know, really want to say listings in a way, right? Neighbors.
Well, including the my family's listings,
including,
if you
yeah.
will. Actually, no, there's seven, including
all
my family's. All together
with your family.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that corridor is what's totally exciting. The communities, Tuckerton and Little Egg, are kind of the donut in the donut hole, and they're looking to work together to really make the highest, you know, best transition for that area, instead of shotgunning development, to really get some planning in there. Mm-hmm. And because it's an opportunity and we have this window, everyone gets it, and we're excited about.
And it's really cool because you had one of the first initial, like, official, I should say, meetings just to kind of explain to a lot of the New Jersey authorities. You had like 25 people who showed up because everybody's for it, because they love the idea of doing something positive for that area.
Absolutely. Well, Dana Lancelotti, the Ocean County Economic and Tourism Development, invited me to present what we were working on in Little Egg Harbor to the 25 members, and they consist of various heads of development groups around that coastal area. And the exciting part is that everyone's looking to work together to finally package what New Jersey's tourism should be represented as. And I love my favorite tagline is, you know, they should say, we're going to go to Dubai or we're going to the Jersey Shore. Jersey Shore should be this, like, you know, Dubai of the East Coast.
Right.
There's no people should be flying in internationally, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree.
It has, you know, if they could do what they did in Dubai in the sand, they certainly have a wealth of resources. It's proximity to New York, Philly, what you could do in a course.
I think Atlantic City needs you, too.
I do, too. You might as well take over the state right now, because you could do it. I really believe it's true, Colleen. Good point.
Well, I love New Jersey. It's home, born and bred, and, you know, I've lived different parts of the state, and it's in my blood.
I love New Jersey, too, and I love the coastal area. I vacation at the Jersey Shore, right around, actually, Long Beach Island, which is very close to the area that you're talking about.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the beauty.
So, and yeah, also, I'd love to see it developed in the way that you're going.
And like you talk about, like, even the location between Philadelphia and New York, I mean, you know, it's a perfect location. You've got Atlantic City, but you also have, you know, you're just situated just close enough and just far enough to make it a really nice resort getaway kind of vacation slash charming, maintaining all that marina, like you said, the waterfront, you know, just bringing opportunity in. I mean, my gosh, you know, there's so much that can be done. And especially after Sandy, it's a perfect window of time.
When you think about it, there is my research, working to attract the destination retailers, that really quality retailers that really provide a tourism, ideally a year-round tourism element to that section of New Jersey. Well, within a three-hour drive time, 180 miles, you have 35 to 40 million people. And the income level of this area surpasses, you know, it doesn't get better, in my opinion, in terms of what you have. You have the, also talk about, you know, since we're talking about Veterans Day, you know, some of the venues we're looking at, the exciting part is really focusing on employment and attraction for our veterans and also our military who are in service now. And so it's exciting.
Really is. Colleen, did you want to ask anything real quick?
No, I just wanted to... again, reiterate about New Jersey and tourism. And I know that there's been a lot of money put into the state to develop tourism. And I just, the way that you're thinking is really helping everyone, not just the commercial property owners, but the residents.
Absolutely.
Also because of tax breaks and things like that.
Well, there's a lot of talent in this state. I think the Atlantic City has produced a very rich workforce for the hospitality industry. I think that we need some Ocean County. What's really we're needed, you know, are the Class A hotels. It's just. Actually mind-boggling that they're not running to be there right now. So, you know, it's one of the, I have a list.
Now that they hear the radio show today, wait till your phone starts ringing off the hook.
It's very true.
No, I have a list of things that, you know, if someone wanted to have a conversation, they're more than welcome to call me. But I am excited about the synergy after Sandy. You know, out of tragedy comes sometimes rebirth and regeneration. Well, I think that has really been the result of Sandy. Sandy mm-hmm. caused everybody to take a look at really what they were doing. The Jersey Shore had business, whether they did anything or not. And now they have to really rethink how they're presenting themselves and get together. And that's the exciting. That's going to make the difference. I think that is the one piece that will transition the Jersey Shore into a very well-planned out lifestyle and tourism destination community.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. So we're going to go to our quick break here. It's already 4:48. By the time we get back, we'll have about 2 minutes left for you to say what you'd like to at the end here. It's Linda Famey. She's talking about properties in New Jersey and some of the work that she's doing in Princeton and down at the Little Egg Harbor area outside north of Atlantic City. We'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
If you're a free-range chicken, you roam free. It's what you do. If you want to save 15% or more on car insurance, you switch to Geico. It's what you do.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life. And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Need Okay, so it's Veterans Day, and we're in studio here at Talented People. It's 4:55 on November 11th. Hope you're having a great day. Colleen, business partner Colleen Kelly, is in studio today from Mariah Media. And
nice Jeannie to be Mer- here.
It's always so great to have you here. And then our guest is Linda Famey, and she's a property owner advocate, but much more than that. That's just like the like small little wording. She's a real a commercial real estate agent, a developer, a restoration specialist, you know, name anything in real estate with your expertise. What would you like to leave everybody out there with already at the end of the show?
Sure. Well, I very much appreciate having you on. It has been fun, and I appreciate your interest in what I've been up to. At the end of the day, planning, if anyone has interest in or needs for planning or concepting on what they have interest to do and they need assistance in leveraging any of the process from concept, financing, or construction and or construction, give us a call. Absolutely. It's ROI Renovations and Development in Princeton.
What is the number?
Sure. It's 609-610-4730. Our website is roirenovations.com.
And if you're interested in the property, it's 255 Nassau Street in Princeton.
Great
location.
It's a
residential apartment complex.
It's a luxury apartment complex.
Oh, yes.
Correct.
It's going to be custom. We have fireplaces. We have the rooftop patio. We're really looking to make it home. A lot of folks are downsizing.
I know a lot of professionals want to live that lifestyle.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
I do. What the heck?
I'm ready.
Get on the list, Jeannie.
Two bedrooms, three bedrooms, and you even have two very select, very, very sought after because you never find a four-bedroom apartment. So I think all that is very interesting,
too. Two, three, and four, and they all have minimum of two bathrooms, and they'll be lovely with balconies and...
And you're right, don't you? Your property actually backs up to Princeton University.
Absolutely, backs up.
Which is such a beautiful location. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Most people know about Princeton, but if you don't, it's just a perfect place in New Jersey.
It was just named one of the top cities. I think it was in the top five in the country just recently. I saw it on the Princeton patch. And then also it's interesting because it doesn't even matter what season. Princeton's got all four seasons and it's just so beautiful. The state of New Jersey is beautiful, but Princeton is it.
It but, is. And then just everything they have in town. They have restaurants and they have culture. They have a theater. They have everything that you would want.
The best part is that it's all accessible to New York City and Philadelphia via New Jersey Transit. It's
oh my,
ideal.
You can't beat it. Yeah, you're not kidding. All right, well, it's the end of the show. We again appreciate Linda Famey coming into the studio. If you have interest in learning more about Little Egg Harbor and that parcel of property, there's like seven different parcels, all part of a big vision, like Colleen said, to better the area. And so you can get in touch with Linda. And so... we just want to say thanks again for being here today. We got to go.
Thank you for having me.
We're actually going to have a number of related conversations in the next upcoming weeks on Talented People. We've got some great real estate information being brought to us by Linda. So stick with us and look if you like today. I'm sure you'll look forward to seeing more. So have a great week. Thanks again for listening in.
Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Same Veterans Day. Thanks so much, Colleen. All right, you guys out there, have a nice afternoon.
This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett. One Republican presidential candidate pulled aside the veil on a common political myth. Senior correspondent Jason Wirt explains.
During last night's Republican debate, Texas Senator Ted Cruz called out what he saw as one of the biggest lies in American politics.
The biggest lie in all of Washington and in all of politics is that Republicans are the party of the rich. The truth is the rich do great with big government. They get in bed with big government. The big banks get bigger and bigger and bigger under Dodd-Frank, and community banks are going out of business. And by the way, the consequence of that is small businesses can't get business loans.
Cruz later said he wouldn't bail out big banks if they fail. I'm Jason Wirt.
A powerful storm is moving across the central U.S. today. The National Weather Service says blizzard conditions are possible in parts of Colorado, Nebraska, and Kansas. Severe storms could bring hail and possible tornadoes into eastern Nebraska and parts of Iowa, stretching into Missouri and Illinois. This is USA Radio News. I'm Melody Burkett.
Welcome to Staples. Hi, Staples guy. Just back from my accountant's office. I have to tighten my budget.
Staples has super low prices every day on everything for your business.
Really?
It'll satisfy the stingiest CPA.
Mine's a real Scrooge.
Yay, Sam.
No, his name's Scrooge.
Dave Scrooge. Get up to 5% back in rewards on everything every day, plus free shipping at staples.com. Get more for less. Staples, make more happen.
5% back in rewards excludes postage, gift, or prepaid phone cards and purchases made on third-party websites. Rewards not paid on taxes, delivery charges, or coupons. See staples.com for details.
This holiday, there are a few things I can count on. My daughter will ask for a pony again.
Please, 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 please.
Grandpa will tell one of his colorful stories at dinner.
And that's why I don't have a spleen.
And thanks to the Postal Service, my holiday shipping will be stress-free.
Make holiday shipping easy with free box delivery, free tracking, and free package pickup from the U.S. Postal Service. This is our season. Priority you. Free tracking and free box delivery available for select products. For